Good afternoon. So we are going to get started momentarily. So I'm encouraging everyone to get seated and to please get seated quickly. So if you're not about pushing the cloud, you're in the wrong place. What we're going to be talking about today is the building the foundation of a new style of IT. And I am pleased to introduce our two speakers, Eric Brown from Accenture and John Welch from HP. Thank you.
Thank you, and I'm Eric Brown from Accenture. I run a global strategic portfolio of what we call joint initiatives. And those are where Accenture partners with other folks in the marketplace, like HP, to deliver solutions to the marketplace in a joint fashion and really leverage the capabilities of both firms. And in that role, I have a fairly diverse team of resources that span a lot of different disciplines. In that role, I'm also the global managing director for the Accenture-HP relationship as well. So today we're going to walk through, I'm going to provide you guys some, I'll call it context on what we're seeing in the marketplace. I'm going to actually cover some of the topics we saw in the earlier sessions today. Interestingly enough, I didn't get a preview of the panels that were in a morning session, but a lot of what we're talking about resonates very well and is in line with what we're going to talk about today. So we're going to try and take it to another level. And then I'm going to walk through a couple of the key tenets that we see in this space that are must-haves. And I'm going to turn it over to John, and he's going to walk through some of the details and what we think are some of the foundational elements of really building what we call this new style of IT. So the first topic is really kind of my observation. And really, we're seeing a shift to the cloud and to the public cloud. And from my perspective, it's happening faster than I would have thought. Admittedly, I probably had a pessimistic view on this. In the early 90s, I was one of five guys who took a really deep look at the time, the largest credit card processor on the planet, and moving them off of the mainframe into a client-server environment. And in that world, majority of the room would have bet that the mainframe was going away. And in fact, many of my colleagues bet that it was going away. I was one of the few folks that said, well, my view is that it's going to be here for quite some time, and in fact, there's going to be a role for it in the future. So as the emergence of cloud came about, right, I probably had an old school type view. And I'm surprised to see at the rate and pace at which change is happening. And in the panel earlier, from the folks on the board, one of the things that actually rang true in my observations in the marketplace is there's a war going on out there, right? And the CIO has a very active role in bringing the conversation around how quickly the environments in which we operate, how quickly they're changing, and it's their responsibility to actually raise that to the board and provide their perspective on how they're going to guide their companies and their organizations through this level of unprecedented change. The other part that I find fascinating is the folks on my team, yesterday's technical architects, the folks that dealt with speeds and feeds, right, that knew every aspect on how systems would connect. Those resources and their role is changing. And the dynamic was highlighted on the board conversations earlier. The technical architects of yesterday are becoming business architects of tomorrow, and actually today. Right? They're articulating how technology, right, drives business value. And in fact, I find it interesting that my solution architect, the guy that's in the highest demand, is no longer a deeply rooted technologist. In fact, he's a CPA that can articulate specifically how the technology investment flows right through the financials and impacts the business at the end of the day. If you would have asked me that question a year ago, right, I would never have guessed that a CPA would be at the center of the conversation around technology and cloud investment. The other piece is my observation is there's no sacred applications. The entire application portfolio and landscape is subject to the digital disruption. I personally had the mindset a year ago, right, that certainly some of the major, right, applications that are in many of our data centers would be immune to the disruption. Just a couple months ago, I was on a plane ride, had a chance to take a step back and look at an RFP that we were responding to, where we're moving the core trading applications for a major bank, right? And if that application's a candidate for moving to the cloud, right, or being cloud enabled, then all applications in the portfolio are candidates. The other piece that I found fascinating when I was in that reviewing that RFP, the technical architecture conversation was literally the 20th chapter in the response. Not to say that technical architecture is not important, it's just dominating, it's not dominating, or top of mind like it used to be. Business capabilities, the consumption models, the business terms around those consumption models and how they actually interact with the business, right, are all now front and center, and the technology conversation is somewhat table stakes, for lack of a better term. So I think the panel did a great job today. All right. Every business is a digital business. And there is no escaping the fact that the digital disruption is going to impact everybody's business in a room. So I certainly don't want to reiterate what the panel had, but I do want to provide a couple other pieces and things to think about for the room. The impact that the digital and cloud is having on business, it's fundamentally changed the entry barriers to the marketplace. This notion of only paying for what you actually consumed, right, has removed significant capital entry barriers that existed in the past, right? So in today's marketplace, scrappy startups don't need to have the massive investments in either infrastructure, right, and or transformation or build efforts as they've had in the past. So they can now enter these markets at a much more rapid pace, right, and a substantially different entry point from a capital perspective. The other part is the digital economy, right? Everything being digital, everything being connected. If you think about that, it's going to have and is having a profound impact on the infrastructure, for the most part, that we all run. The notion of everything as a service, right? Big data, right? Some of the topics that we talked about today, if left unchanged, right, will ultimately break the infrastructure that we run today. If we just take a simple look at the one on the very end, the Internet of Things, which I think is the next session after me, it's going to have a profound impact on all of our lives, right? The numbers are staggering at the growth rates, right? If you just take a look at the data alone, it's going to be produced, right? The metric on the very left, the 15.9 exabytes of data a month, right? The way in which we manage that, right, and work with it is going to fundamentally change and require IT to operate in a different way. Sorry for the folks in the corners. I know you guys can't see this. So I'm going to briefly touch on what we think success looks like in this new world, and then John's going to walk through the details. So I know today on the panel, speed and agility was a primary topic. I don't think these are mutually exclusive, right? These two topics are really the difference, the opposite side of the same coin. When you increase automation, and when I say automation, it's not necessarily how the panel talked about it, right? When I talk about automation, it's the ability to spin up instances of compute and spin them down, right, in a moment's notice. the ability to consume those services on a consumption-based model, to turn on development environments and turn them off when you don't have developers working on it. And when you have the capabilities, right, to actually spin up an entire ERP environment, to spin up an SAP instance, soup to nuts, including the data set that you want, in 30 minutes while you're at lunch in this room, right? The ability to do that fundamentally changes how you develop and test that application, right? That fundamentally changes your governance processes internal to your organization, right? It allows developers, right, to operate in modes which in the past have not been able to do so, right? It enables you to establish test environments, take them down, compose and decompose them, right, in very short, very rapid cycles. And this drives the entree of, right, a DevOps type model where you can iterate very quickly, right? You can establish environments, you can test environments, and you can remove all those environments. So when I talk about automation, that's really what I'm talking about. It's really automation of, right, the IT landscape and the major applications, i.e. your ERP system, right, and figuring out how to change and be more nimble and agile in that space. So I quickly talked about the governance piece, right? When we start achieving high levels of automation, right, the routine tasks, right, it begins to bring in a new paradigm on how you leverage and consume IT. Right? When I first went through this, I thought, wow, this is interesting. But the way in which you test applications changes, your underlying processes all fundamentally change. Gone, not completely, but for the most part, are the days of the big monolithic release cycles, right, where you've got the folks doing all of the planning to ensure the release schedule is on time, right? It enables a new dynamic. The other piece, and they briefly talked on this, is the integration, right, and or the fabric as things become connected through the cloud. And we begin to build and understand more capabilities, more data, and the interconnectivity of capabilities, right? New solutions begin to emerge. And connecting to and relying on that fabric is what's enabling many of the folks in this room to either leapfrog competition and or leverage their IT shop as a strategic differentiator, right? And it goes without saying, folks like Airbnb, right, Uber, everyone recognizes those folks have leveraged this paradigm to drive a new business model. So the last piece is everything as a service. This is what I say is very easy to say, but it's a very complicated topic. And certainly the conversations with many of you in a room over the past day and at dinner last night, there's a lot of nuances that actually go into truly understanding how to drive a consumption-based model, not only internally for your own enterprise, right, and coming in with a consume, buy versus build mentality, but also understanding how you consume these services from your providers, right? And in the provider space, specifically in the cloud, in the public cloud, where it's a true utility type model, not all of the services and the consumption models associated with those are the same. And a lot of care, right, and time needs to be put into this to understand how each of the models interact and interact with your business and enable your business, right, depending on what you're looking to do with the application. So with that, I'm going to turn it over. The last point is if we combine all of this, the speed and agility, right, the ability to spool up and spool down your biggest applications in your landscape literally in a matter of minutes, with the governance models and new consumption models, it's truly ushering in, right, a new way to look at IT. It's fundamentally changing how we operate, right, the landscapes that we've traditionally operated in the past. So I'm going to hand the conversation over to John. He's going to walk through some of the details and some of the key tenets of what this new style of IT is all about.
Great. Thank you, Eric. So again, my name is John Welch, and I've been with HP going on 14 years, holding a number of positions in our hardware group and our software group. I lead an alliances team as a part of our cloud organization, working with Accenture on our go-to-market. And I think Eric really correctly, you know, linked today's, this morning's presentations along with what we're seeing in the marketplace, right? There is this new style of IT. I think many of us are already along on that journey and driving that. You know, it's a privilege. This is my first time at this conference, and it's a privilege to be one of the diamond sponsors here. And I think I want to thank you all for taking the time to come and participate. I know we were one of two lunches, and you know, it's a great opportunity for us to, you know, really learn from you during these sessions too. So after the presentation, I encourage you to pull us aside. If there's things you hear that you want us to expand further upon, please reach out to us. But you know, this new style of IT is emerging. I'd say it's already here. Many of us are taking advantage of it. But you know, as we saw in this digitized world, in this digital economy, right, there's plenty of pressures on this in the creation of this new style of IT, but these are also tremendous opportunities for all of us. Right, as Eric summed up and highlighted, you know, we have the ability to take advantage of the number of devices that are being connected, that access to information anytime, anywhere, the delivery mechanisms that are provided from a public or a private or a creation of a hybrid cloud environment, which we'll talk about, the impact of social media and social interaction between our organizations, our IT systems, and our clients, and the opportunity around big data. So at 3 o'clock today, Colin Mahoney is going to do a session around big data, and I encourage you to go and listen to that because it is really an opportunity to take all this data that's out there and turn it into a strategic information. So IT is no longer thought of as just, you know, a cost center, but a value creator within our organization, right? And while we create this IT organization, you know, look at this new style of IT, it's important to focus on that simplicity, that innovation, and that time to value, right? We're all in a consumable marketplace now, right? People want access to information anytime, anywhere. It's amazing when I look at the advanced nature of my kids and how, you know, they utilize technology today in their education, utilize the technology with their friends. I wish there was a little bit more social interaction that goes on if anyone has teenage kids who sit in a car and all look down at their phone. But I think the importance is, you know, all those present the opportunities of what the future is going to hold in regards to the systems that we have to create in order to take advantage of that. And it's not just looking at the infrastructure and this, you know, IT and how we provide that infrastructure out to market. It's looking at the processes at which we need to adapt and modify. It's also looking at an overarching transformation. You know, there was a lot of discussions this morning around how the CIOs are looked at with the board and inside their organization. And it is, you know, such a task. And I was listening to all the roles and the responsibilities that many of you have, and I don't know how you do it. Because, you know, the dynamics of being that value creator, being that link to the business back to the IT infrastructures while also maintaining the infrastructures and providing that ability, because we're all asked to drive cost out of the model, drive more flexibility, and drive more agility. And with a focus around governance, right? We have to have the governance, the compliance, and the security, right? And we want to develop this all around an open framework, right? So from my perspective, you know, as we look at this new style of IT, if we're not developing to take advantage of this new market economy and what's going on, we have to focus on what are our end users, not only short-term, but more-term, long-term, going to expect and demand of our services. We all run into and see shadow IT, right? And why does shadow IT come about, right? It becomes from a line of business or a user or a developer going out and saying, I can get resources quicker in a more costly manner to their perception in regards to delivering the service or developing the app that they want to build upon. But it all has a cascading effect. And so you have to look at the entire process on our journey to cloud and this new style of IT. Right, so adapting to this hybrid world, because that's what we live in, right? And the digitization and what goes on around our ecosystem within our infrastructure, you know, there's going to be classic IT. You know, as Eric talked about with the mainframes and talked about this movement, you know, there's going to be those classic IT applications. However, you know, there's also the focus around a lot of the new apps that are being created and developed. As we look at what the DevOps world is doing and what the marketplaces are doing around our environments, you know, we can't think of them as just a single focus. We need to think of, you know, the way at which we deliver a common foundation and of open technology around that centralized management layer that bridges both the traditional environment and also this native new environment, right? But we can't lose sight of the fact that the key factors that we've always had as a part of our IT infrastructure and the way to which we've managed from the monolithic days all the way through around the security and the availability, right? We all have our SLAs in regards to the performance we need to provide and the cost that we're being asked to drive out our model. There's always a trade-off in regards to that. So when we think about this journey to cloud, right, there is no end destination in this journey to cloud, right? As soon as we continue down that journey, there's going to be new opportunities, new people coming to us to ask us to advance further. So there's a lot of potential business value that can be created in this structure. But it's not just around creating this hybrid model and this hybrid environment, right? If you look at and I heard it mentioned up on stage today, right, the bimodal IT. I think we all operate and work in that space, right? Majority of the IT budgets in the past have historically gone towards keeping the lights on, that IT operations. We see the same type of struggles. We see the same type of challenges because I'm being asked to do more with less resources, get more flexible, and provide the cost savings. And while cloud is going to help drive some cost savings in the infrastructure, cost savings is not the reason to go to cloud. We should all know that. There are benefits associated to it, but there's a lot of other business value and value creation that can be created in regards to bridging both that IT ops to that bimodal mode with the DevOps people. The application and the developers, and it's an application-driven world. If you look at the number of applications that are being created and that will be created, right, and how we collectively manage that environment and that process, in the number of updates, those monolithic upgrades, that now we go into this continuous improvement and continuous innovation. Can't tell you how many application updates that I just seamlessly get on my smartphone, right? And in the old days, that was impossible to think about. Those all have a cascading impact on the way in which we deliver our services to our clients. And so it's important for us as we look at this new style of IT to focus on the delivery mechanism on where the application should reside. How am I delivering it to my providers, to my customers? How am I taking advantage of the capabilities that and the flexibility that an open, scalable architecture and platform will provide? But those IT processes are very important, right? The people that are involved in, we can create the best model associated, but if we don't have the thought process on how I execute, how I deliver, and how I manage this environment, we're going to run into challenges, and we will not see the benefits that we expect. So one of the things that Eric was talking about and what we heard about today, too, is, you know, centers around the application. Well, you know, while, you know, the cloud is already out in probably in every part of your environment, the definition of cloud means a lot of things to a lot of people. There was a conversation going on last night around, you know, who actually coined the word cloud, right? And I'm not going to get into that. Someone said Al Gore, but I don't think that was correct. But, you know, from my perspective, you know, cloud is here to stay, and we know it. It presents tremendous opportunities. Your definition may vary depending upon the business you're in, your experience and your background. And every application will have a tenant to the cloud, but may not be specifically fit for purpose for cloud. So when you look at this journey to cloud and this journey, this transformation to this new style of IT, very important to make sure from an IT infrastructure and an apps structure that we're working together with the lines of business around this app rationalization. Many of the accounts that we work with on this journey and on this transformational workload, it starts with a definition around the applications. The needs of what the client are looking for, the strategies of what they're doing, and the applications that, one, have already been created for the cloud that are being used and were created on, you know, a public cloud provider and now are 7x24, and the overarching cost dynamics associated to running that application have become very burdensome. The opportunity for us to provide a true hybrid nature where I can provide the transportability between those workloads, between a public cloud and a private cloud, that technology and that capability is here. That capability to deliver those services in the location that it's best used for the client, best used for your organization from both a security and a governance perspective, and also from a cost perspective. So looking from a like-for-like migration all the way up to a redeploy or a replatforming of a solution, I think it's, you know, as we take this journey, right, we can look at the infrastructure, we can look at the necessary people and the processes. That application transformation is very important. If we're going to get the economies of scale and the business value, right, we want, as IT is being looked to become that service broker of delivering the line to the lines of business between the business value and IT, applications are what really we drive our business on anyways. So if you're doing that, you have to have an industrialized approach, right? And a lot of people have their own processes in regards to how they manage, how they drive this industrialized approach. What we've done is, we formalized this process and have done this in many accounts where we can quickly identify, as a part of an app rationalization, we can quickly identify those applications that present the immediate opportunity or the quick opportunity for quick time to value, right? Low cost, easy to migrate, provide an opportunity that can present some benefit. I heard on the stage this morning, prioritization. With all the responsibilities, all the things that IT organizations have to do, it is very important to have a formalized process around what is my strategy, short-term, mid-term, long-term, and having it from assessment all the way through to deployment, right, with the idea and the modification and the necessary needs to do that testing, that certification. Remember, as I said before, this cloud-native world is a continuous world, right? It's a continuous innovation, continuous world where you're going to have people demanding your time, demanding requests for resources, be it storage, be it compute, be it networking, right? All of those play into an app rationalization approach and that testing and that deployment, and it doesn't stop there, right? From a perspective of driving that app rationalization, it has to link directly back into that infrastructure, right? You have to be able to leverage the existing strategies. So if I can abstract at the cloud layer or the cloud manage and the cloud management layer, the infrastructure that you choose, the hypervisors that you choose, those should be choices based upon the business benefit and the value created. Of course, we would love you to choose HP products and technology across the board. But we also understand that it is truly a hybrid world and a heterogeneous world. So you're going to want to leverage your existing investment. The days of coming in and ripping and replacing, right, those don't happen now because we want to maximize our investment. And because of the flexibility of the delivery of what IT can execute upon, having this abstraction, having this open infrastructure architecture really presents us with the ability to use, you know, external public cloud providers, provide that capability for us to use that transportability that I talked about earlier. But again, looking at OpenStack, looking at the open source community, looking at the abilities and the advances that are happening with Puppet, Chef, with Code, with various Docker and other initiatives, it presents us with tremendous opportunity to service our clients in a much more seamless way. So how do we transform that infrastructure to the hybrid world? No different than what we were talking about applications, right? You need to have, you know, the phases and the approach. I think most of you have probably already gone through a number of standardization and consolidation approaches. We've seen that over the course of the years. And, you know, and that goes from, you know, all the way through the data center, all the way through all the different levels of operation. But, you know, orchestrating and orchestration is just, you know, one phase of it, right? That reactive mode. We all have service management solutions. We all have the IT operations management solutions. But providing that integrated stack to bridge that traditional and that native new, so where applications are sitting outside my firewall, I still need the ability to provide the reporting, the automation, the execution. And if I need to burst out from a private cloud to a public cloud, the ability to continue to do that and drive that service orientation, right? So from an infrastructure perspective, right, we want you to think of, you know, this reactive, proactive, and predictive state, right, is, as I said, the journey doesn't stop, right? The intelligence we heard about automation and self-driving planes and cars, and it'll make me think when I get on an airplane later today. But I think the perspective is, you know, as we look at our overarching process and infrastructure and the applications on this journey, right, it is important for us to focus on the cascading impact across all these areas. Your journey will be dependent upon different levels of resources, different levels of execution capabilities, and also across the nature of the applications that you're trying to drive. But there is this transformational journey, no different than what we were talking about, application in the infrastructure around this hybrid world. So, you know, as I said, just to sum up around some of these processes in these elements, you know, you need to think of these. You can think of them independently, definitely, but I think you have to take a holistic approach to maximize that business value. We could create the best infrastructure. We could do a great rationalization, but if the people, the processes, and the IT model is not ready to support it, you know, we're not going to get the benefit that we expected. So analysis around those platforms, analysis around the applications, identifying those that we can have our quick wins. What we've found is those quick wins really exponentially multiply. When word gets out and recognition and understanding and experience develops, it really presents that opportunity where we are now being brought into conversations at the business, the line of business. So, hey, we were thinking about developing this out on a public cloud. In the past, IT found out about that many times after the fact. Hey, we developed this application. We're looking to launch it. Can you support it? And what's the opportunity? You know, so from our perspective, taking this as a holistic approach really provides that benefit. So you want to leverage those existing processes and applications, as I said, while also focusing on that agility, right? That speed to market, that speed to provide and streamline the way at which we deliver service. This is a, you know, we're a consumable economy in regards to how we look to get, capture, and utilize and optimize our infrastructure. And I think it's important for us to highlight, you know, on this journey, there are tremendous upside in regards to the way at which we can go to market collectively, leveraging open technology and leveraging the ability to drive this. Right. And during this transformation, as I said, it's a journey. It's a continuous journey. It's something that will continue to adapt and modify. If you make the right decisions around your strategic investment, you make your right decisions around an open architecture, it should be able to adapt and modify with your changing needs. And so maintaining reliability and service across while you do this transformation, right? It's not a wholesale one and done. It is a process that you're going to do while you have the reliability to take advantage of these new areas. And so, you know, from you know, our perspective, you know, as a sponsor here and, you know, one of the largest IT providers, we see a transformation of the business. And so, you know, we see the opportunity